This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So now, just less than a mile from where we stand today, five masjids were desecrated. Five masjids.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man sabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Respected brothers, elders, sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I thought I'd say a few things regarding the global and the local incidences which have happened in the last week, and reflect on how the Quran and Sunnah expects us to behave when we are afflicted with a difficulty. Now the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, وَلَا تَقُولُ لَمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. Do not say regarding those who have passed away in the path of their Lord that they are dead. So what we have seen in New Zealand last week, or wherever they may be martyrs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not say that they are dead, because they have been martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ. But Allah says they are alive. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعَرُونَ. But the problem is that you don't have the ability to comprehend. See, me and you know life and death. And me and you understand life and death, black and white, nothing else. Either you're alive or either you're dead. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a different understanding of ahya, of life, which you and I cannot comprehend. And then straight after this verse, very interesting, right after this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, Allah said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ. That surely, guaranteed, 100%, every single person from the time of Adam until the final person will be tested. You will be tested. بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ. With some fear in your life, some turmoil in your life. You will go through this. You will have some part in your life, you will have some difficulty. Well, jui, hunger. Well, naqsi min al amwal, and a decreasement, a decreasing in your wealth. Well, anfus, and life. You may have people who are close to you who leave this dunya by natural causes, and then you have those who are martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is guaranteed. Wa thamarat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, also, the fruits, what you have sown in this dunya, your business or whatever you do, that you may be a millionaire one day and bankrupt the next day. This is life. And Allah will surely test every single person. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what should a believer do? Allah says, وَبَشِّرْ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings to the ones who have sabr. That when you are afflicted with a calamity, a difficulty, which every single person is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell these believers to sabr. Have sabr. And not only does he say have sabr, no, Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give them glad tidings to those who do sabr, because their abode by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is lofty. In a narration, the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, iman, belief, is two parts. Belief is two parts. Iman and shukr. That's it. Iman is two parts. Sabr and shukr. That's it. Sabr and shukr.
And this is why the Prophet said, I marvel at the state of a believer. Look at this, subhanAllah. I marvel at the state of a believer that when he is given a ni'mah, a favor, he does shukr and Allah rewards him. And when he is tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests him and he does sabr, he's still rewarded. Every moment of your life, no matter what situation you are in, happy, sad, depressed, miserable, glad, every single moment of your life can be turned into something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you glad tidings about. You marvel at the state of a believer. If you're sad, you're still a winner because you do sabr. And if you're in a state of favor and shukr, you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're still a winner. In the narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went far as to say, Al-Imanu, Al-Imanu huwa sabr. Iman, belief is sabr. La ilaha illallah. Belief is sabr. And this is how important sabr is in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, who are these? Bashir al-Sabirin. Who are these Sabirin? What do they do? One is that they are patient, but what do they say? Allah says, Alladhina idha asabatum musibah. قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That whenever a musibah, a difficulty afflicts them, what do they say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They say, oh Allah, whatever has happened to me, whatever has happened to me, ultimately it came from you and it returned to you. Ajeeb, wallahi, ajeeb. Whatever you have millions, and they disappear overnight. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah, you gave me those millions, and you took them away. They came from you, Allah, and they went away. Ultimately, like me and you have come from Allah, we will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A day will come that you and I will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything else is secondary. You have parents, and Allah decides to take your parents away. Difficult. But at the end of the day, it's inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Oh Allah, they came from you and they have gone back to you. And this is why there was a woman, a sahabiya. Her name was Umm Salma radiallahu anha. And her husband was Abu Salma. And Abu Salma and Umm Salma loved each other. They were like the perfect couple. So Abu Salma now passes away, and Umm Salma is grieving. A husband like Abu Salma, you know, the perfect husband. So one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum went to Umm Salma and he said, Umm Salma, shall I not tell you a dua which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us when you are afflicted with a difficulty? And she said, of course, tell me the dua. She said, the message of Allah said, say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And then read, Allahumma ajirni fi masibati wa khlufli khayrun minha. Oh Allah, reward me in this difficulty I'm going through. Reward me for this. Give me ajr. Let me see on the day of judgment. But not only that, that's in the akhirah. But in the dunya, oh Allah, give me better than that I had before. Give me better than Abu Salma. She couldn't have dreamt that anything could have been better than Abu Salma. She makes this dua. She finishes her iddah. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proposes to her. And the Messenger of Allah marries her. And then she realized the dua, that this dua, the power. And they said to her, O Umm Salma, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you better than Abu Salma radiyallahu anhu. And this is faith, this is belief. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that everything goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if your iman is strong in the time of musibah, then inshallah you will get through it. But if your iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is weak in the time of musibah, then you will find difficulty. Wallahi, I've been watching these interviews of some of the individuals in New Zealand. Wallahi, the iman is one of to be envious of. The sister who lost her husband and her son. Did anybody see that interview? Did you see? They asked her, would you go back to the masjid? She said, of course I'd go back to the masjid. She didn't feel sorry for herself. She didn't even feel sorry, although she was grieving over a loss. She didn't feel sorry for her husband and her son. Who did she feel sorry for? The murderer, the terrorist, who had no compassion in his heart. And then, wallahi, when I watched that interview, I thought, subhanAllah, this is an iman even I am envious of. This is an iman. قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا لِرَاجِعُونَ. Oh Allah, you gave me my husband, you gave me my child, and now you have taken them away, and the day will come, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, and we will all go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to so see iman? Because see, understand, above everything else in this world, there is Allah. Everything. The greatest oppressor, above the greatest oppressor in this dunya is Allah. Even if you are the lowest of the lowest, understand, above everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's the belief, having that belief, that above everything is Allah. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam left from Fir'aun, he took his people. Fir'aun got tired of all the azar from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His people were slaves, the Bani Israel. And then the Copts said to Fir'aun, they said, look, you've been humiliated, Fir'aun, you're the Lord. You've allowed these slaves to leave. So Fir'aun says, okay, we'll deal with them. So he prepares his army in all its might and in all its glory. The Bani Israel are happy. After years and years of captivity and slavery, they're free today. And they're going and they're free. And they reach the river. And they're about to cross the river. And all of a sudden they look back. And when they look back, who do they see? They see the army of Fir'aun, the powerful army of Fir'aun, and all his people. So they look behind, they see this army, they look in front of them and they see the river. They can't go back and they can't go forward. And in this state of desperation, they say, and Allah recalls in the Quran, when the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, Inna la mudrakun. We will be captured and we will be butchered by Fir'aun. If we go into the sea, we drown. If we wait here, we will be butchered. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is seeing exactly the same thing as them. He sees the river in front of them. He sees the army behind them. What does he say? He says, Kalla, never. Inna ma'i Rabbi. He said, never. Because you know why? I have my Lord with me. Above Fir'aun is Allah. Above Fir'aun is Allah. He said, never. Because with me is my Lord. It's really interesting. Why? He doesn't say with us is our Lord. He says with me is my Lord. Why? Although all of them were saved, because his iman was such that he trusted in Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them in that difficulty. So understand that everything comes from Allah and everything returns from Allah. Every musibah and difficulty that you have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it depends on your iman. how you deal with it. If you trust in Allah, even in the time of difficulty, you will get rewarded. Not only will you get rewarded, if you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give you better than that. You look at the difficulties in the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the difficulties in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You look how he stayed firm. Imagine this. This is the year known as Amul Huzn, the year of grief in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amul Huzn. Why is it known as Amul Huzn? Because this was the year his uncle passed away and his wife passed away. He has no protection, nothing at all. Anybody can attack him. He's like Bilal and Ammar. He has no protection from the people of Quraysh. If anybody wants to kill him, they are now, he's open game. So what does he do? He goes to Taif. And he calls the people of Taif the leaders towards Islam. And he also asks them for protection. They don't embrace Islam. They don't give him protection. And then he asks them, okay, you're not going to embrace Islam. You're not going to give me protection. Then I ask you one thing. Please don't tell the people of Quraysh. Because if they know I came to you and you didn't give me protection, then it will be even, they will get even braver in attacking me. What do? They send a message to the people of Quraysh telling them that your man Muhammad has come to us and we ran him out of our city. And they set the urchins and the lowlifes of the city behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they pelt him until he bled so much that his shoes stuck to his feet. Imagine this. This is the most difficult time in the life of the Messenger of Allah. When Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Messenger of Allah, said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, tell me, what was the most difficult time in your life?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The most difficult time in my life was Taif." Look at subhanAllah. No man in the history of humanity had to carry the burden that the Messenger of Allah carried. And he's saying, Taif is the most difficult time in my life. And then he comes out. And Zayd radiallahu anhu says to him, "Oh Messenger of Allah, the people of Makkah have driven you out. The people of Taif have driven you out. You can't really go to Makkah because you're open game. What are you going to do, O Messenger of Allah?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Oh Zayd, let me tell you something." Most difficult time in his life. He said, "Oh Zayd, let me tell you something. Allah will never forsake his Nabi. Allah will never forsake his Nabi." Why? Because he trusted in Allah. He believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he sends a message to the people of Makkah, on the outskirts of Makkah. He said, "Is there anybody who will give me protection?" And Mutim ibn Adi says, "I will give you protection." And he tells everybody in Makkah that nobody lay a finger on Muhammad, and he bought his camel and he made the Messenger of Allah ride behind him. Mutim ibn Adi wasn't a Muslim. He died on Kufr. The Messenger of Allah said, on the battle of Badr, when they captured 70 of the mushrikeen, they said, he said, "If Mutim ibn Adi was alive here today, and Mutim ibn Adi said to me, 'Oh Muhammad, free all 70 of them,' I would free every single one of them, and I wouldn't even ask for a penny. I wouldn't ask for a penny." Why? Because he never forgot the ihsan, the good of Mutim ibn Adi. And you know, I've been analyzing, you know, the last weeks, and wallahi, you know, you see a glimmer of this, honestly, in the Prime Minister of New Zealand. I've been watching her, the way she's conducted herself, the way she's behaved, the empathy, the compassion, even the people of New Zealand. Imagine this, a few hours before this, they had their Jummah. Thousands of people came out. Exactly what the murderer wanted to achieve, or the terrorist wanted to achieve, they turned it on its head. people came out in their thousands. And she led by leadership. Adhan was given on national TV. Jummah was performed on national TV. You know, I've heard, wallahi, many a time this statement where they say that the blood of a martyr brings the ummah to life. Wallahi, this is a sign of the blood of the martyrs bringing the ummah to life. I was thinking about her, and I was thinking how she would compare to any of the other Western leaders. And although this is in the south, the southeast, but it's a Western culture, that's why it's known as the West, New Zealand. And I was thinking, wallahi, I don't think there is a prime minister in the entirety of the West who would behave like she did. Muslims, forget it. Can you imagine our own prime minister? Can you imagine our own MPs? They would have twisted it some way or the other. Our newspapers, their press, which is one of the main ones, had the name of every single martyr with the head title As-Salam. Can you imagine the Telegraph, the Independent, the Daily Mail doing anything of that nature? No, they were talking about the angelic, curly-haired, blue-eyed, blonde boy. Do you remember when one of the CAGE members spoke about Jihad Johnny? And he spoke how he used to be a good guy once upon a time. You remember how the press went after CAGE? How the MPs went after CAGE? They haven't forgiven them until today. It's all right for you to say it. Curly haired, blue eyed, was made radical because he played what? Because he played games. You know, violent games, that's what made him radical. What about the 73 pages he wrote? You see, look, no, really, how many schools, even if they are 90% Muslim, even if they are 90% Muslims, had a 1 minute, 2 minute silence in Birmingham for what happened in New Zealand? I asked my daughter, I said, did your school, which is 90% Muslim, did it have? She said, no, they said it's too far away. Oh, it's too far away. Yeah, because you only see white. White is close, anything else is far. And this is the reality. And see, you see the ripple effects of this. The ripple effects. So, no, just less than a mile from where we stand today, five masjids were desecrated. Five masjids. When did this start? This didn't start last Friday in New Zealand. Let me make it quite clear. This started 19 years ago when the politicians have had an open day on the Muslims, where the media have had an open day on the Muslims, where the government has been listening to right-wing think tanks who only have one motive, really one motive, to remove Muslims from public life. That's it. And it's amazing, isn't it? Even some of our politicians, Muslim politicians, all of a sudden since last week have found their faith. All those since the beginning of their political career have tried to distance themselves from the Muslim community. All of a sudden, because they had the sympathy of the entire world. It took the sympathy of the entire world for you to come out and now defend your community. And I say this, and I've said it before. You know, I do not see one Muslim male politician who will defend the Muslims. They speak about anti-Semitism, they speak about everything else, racism, but never about Islamophobia. You have more hope from the female politicians than you do have from these guys. Seriously, no exaggeration. You look at Shabana Mahmood, she's been vocal regarding this and the RSC. You look at Salma Yaqub, Iraq war, she stood up. And all Sayyida Warthy resigned her post because of conservative stance on Palestine, resigned. And you show me one male Muslim politician who's really made a stand. None of them. None of them. And this is why I say, you know, these guys should go home, take their wife's churiyan bangles, and make a kadai. And don't forget to serve your mother-in-law first. Because that's the reality. But you know, I say this, they can attack the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will protect His houses. They can attack His awliya and His believers. Allah will protect them. You know, in the time, the year the Messenger of Allah was born, the year the Messenger of Allah was born is known as Aam al-Fil. This is when the year that Abraha came to destroy the Kaaba. So when he came, he camped outside the Haram. And he stole some camels which belonged to Abdul Muttalib, who was the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grandfather came to meet him. Now the Messenger of Allah's grandfather Abdul Muttalib, he has a presence about him. He had an aura about him. When he entered the room, you know that this man has entered the room. So he goes to meet Abraha. And Abraha is sitting on his throne. When he sees him, he descends from his throne. And he walks up to him. And because Abdul Muttalib has sat on the floor, Abraha even sits on the floor. He sits on the floor. And then he says, "What can I do for you, old man, Sheikh?" So the grandfather of the Messenger of Allah says, "You know, I have some camels which you have stolen. I want those camels back." So Abraha looks at him and he says, "I have come to destroy your Kaaba, your holy place. And the only thing that you are concerned about is your camel." He said, "I descended from my throne when I saw you, but all my respect for you has gone out of the window." So Abdul Muttalib says to him, he says, "Do you know those camels? They belong to me. You know that house, the Kaaba, has a Lord and He will protect it. He will protect the house." And this is why, wallahi, remain firm in your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remain vigilant. Remain firm in your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not cower. You know, I've been here listening to these politicians, some of them saying, "Oh, Muslim community, we want you to remain calm." Jazakumullah khairan. Is that all you got to say? We a bunch of junglies. No, is that all you got to say? Tell us to remain calm. We've always been calm generally, alhamdulillah. What about telling your masters something? That they need to change their rhetoric now. What about saying something like that? Why are you always beating us down for? Even when we're beaten by others, you come beating us down. You like the limelight? You like the camera? You want to dance to the tune of your masters? You're telling us to remain calm. Who hasn't been calm? Who hasn't been calm? Let me tell you, brothers, wallahi, you know, if the entirety of humanity gathered to stop the rays of the sun, which is millions of miles away, the light of the sun, could they do this? Would they manage? If the 6 billion people gathered, every single one, to extinguish this light of the sun, would they manage? Never. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives glad tidings to the believers in the Quran. He says, "Yuriduna liyutfiya nur Allah." They want bi ahwahihim. They want to extinguish the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning His deen, with their mouths. With their mouth, they want to extinguish the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, if the entirety, the first man and the last man, from the time of Adam until the last man, came and they wanted to extinguish this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will never be able to extinguish it. Why? Because Allah will complete and fulfill the nur of this deen. And this is where Allah consoles the believers. No matter what the dunya sends, throws at you, Allah is with you. Make Allah yours and you have everything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who remain firm for His deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united in the dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us at Jannah for those. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.